just want to say that each person goes through a tailor-made test for the purposes of the Father rather than the purposes of our emotions. And on Tuesday, I was pressed to grab a book by Wade Taylor called Waterspouts of Glory. And there's a lot of material in here, but this morning is where he really started to push my buttons about Ezekiel 36. And so we'll be going to Ezekiel 36 in a few minutes. And as I was pressed, because I wanted to go to the word that I already had prepared in my mind to read, but the Lord said, no, I want you to take the book first. And of course, my habit is to grab the Bible first. And he said, no. He said, I want you to take the book first. I said, go. So, okay. So Romans 8:29 says, we are his workmanship. So if I'm his workmanship, do I need to be in charge? Ephesians 2:10 says, the Lord is actively at work within our lives, not just to get us through to heaven, but rather to conform us to the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29. He will seek those who are willing to submit to and endure this time of being tested and proven. I said, yes, Lord, I got it. An enlarged spiritual hunger will sovereignly be created within those who respond to this call into the wilderness. Here, these will receive the capacity and the ability to come to him and buy gold tried in the fire. These, not all, these. The Lord is choosing out a people who are neither spiritually lazy nor content to rest in the comfort of the fullness of the Spirit that they received as a gift. These are pressing onward, even into the wilderness, if necessary. Well, some of us are in the wilderness periodically. Some of us have been a part of it in. Some of us are in the process. It's all different. Watch the results. They are willing to suffer intense hunger until they have fed. They have been fed by the Lord himself, knowing that afterwards, they will come forth victorious in the power of the Spirit. The stress is on the word power. The world desperately needs such a people in our day. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after. Power in our Christian experience does not come as a result of our having received the fullness of the Spirit. There is something more that is required for his power to enter our lives. I thought, okay, God, you've primed the pump. After Jesus had received the fullness of the Spirit in the Jordan, he was led into the wilderness for a time of testing and proving. Here, the word becomes power in his life. There's like a play on words here, so be careful. Here, the word became power in his life. Now, when Jesus ministered, men became attentive and said, never man spoke like this man, John 7:46. In other words, his conversation was not like all the other teachers. Why? Because the word and the flesh, his life experience is in parentheses, had become one. This is the oneness which the Lord desires to work into all of our lives. Once we have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Lord will guide us into the wilderness experience that are necessary to bring, notice again, that are necessary. If you don't go through something, you won't be the overcomer that he wants you to become. Got it? The Lord will guide us into the wilderness experience that are necessary to bring each of us into this experiential knowledge of his power. As we faithfully pass through these experiences, his word and his presence within us will become more than just a testimony or a blessing. There will be an impartation of spiritual power through us that will bring conviction and life to all who hear. So in other words, it's not just for you. It's for those who hear you and for those who are watching you. Luke 4:32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. How many times did you hear the word power so far? Got it? Matthew 22, verse 14. The word tells us, for many are called, but few are chosen. Another way to say this is, many are called, but few are willing to pay the price in order to be chosen. Did you hear pay the price? There is a price that must be paid in order to come into this place where his word has become a personal reality in our life experience. Anybody say amen? Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Witnesses. Meaning people are going to see something in you that you may not be conscious of, but it's happening without your help. There is a popular teaching. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is power for service. This is true. This baptism is much more than that. The power that we are to receive is the dunamis, Greek for dynamo, of God. So we're looking for what? The power of God. It is the dynamic that first flows through us as a witness to the personalization of the word within us. And then through the word that we minister as an impartation of spirit and life into the lives of those who will hear and receive. When Moses went up into the mount, the children of Israel said, all that the Lord has said, we will do. And be obedient. Exodus 24, verse 7. This was a tremendous statement, but they failed. Why? Because they made the decision that they were going to do. And it wasn't the right word, was it? The Old Testament is written as a testimony that flesh cannot fulfill the law of God. Try it on for size. Say, the Old Testament is written as a testimony that flesh cannot fulfill the law of God. That's a hard one to digest because everybody thinks, oh, yes, we will do everything that you tell us to, Moses. Oh, we're going to obey whatever God wants. But what are you relying on? You're relying on your soul. And when you rely on your soul, what do you get? Disappointed. And trouble. Okay, I repeat. The Old Testament is written as a testimony that flesh cannot fulfill the law of God. of ourselves, we cannot. But in the New Testament or the New Covenant, the ability to obey is given. So the ability to obey is a gift. And it's coming from Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 36. Are you ready? Verse 26 and 27. A new heart also I. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. Notice it's I will. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and the word, and cause, with capital C-A-U-S-E, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Whew. Got it? I'm going to repeat that because I want you to know that this is absolutely impossible for you to think that you can do it on your own. By confessing your life away, you will get nowhere. No different than the old covenant. They failed. But there's a promise given in Ezekiel, and we are living in it. This is a day thing. Today, now. July 4th, if you wish. A new heart also will I give you. Notice it's done by God, not you. And a new spirit will I put within you. He puts it in, not you. You can confess till the cows come home. Nothing's going to happen. You're going to fail just like the old covenant. You're going to think you can rely on yourself and you're depending on a fool. Because you know what? You're foolish when you think you can change yourself. You're not going to do it. I will take away the stony hearts out of your flesh. Notice again, it's not you doing it, it's him. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is given as the fulfillment of the promise proclaimed in this passage of scripture. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that will cause or enable us to walk in his statutes. The power in Acts 1:8 is the same as the cause in Ezekiel 36. These are one and the same intention. Thus, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is far more than power for service. Christian service is something that we do for the Lord. However, this verse does not say anything about doing. Rather, it tells us that we are to be a witness. Being speaks of what I am rather than what I do. It is the expression of what I have become in him. If I am doing witnessing, then I am telling someone about the Lord. However, if I am being a witness, there is something far deeper. Did you hear that? If I am being a witness, there is something far deeper. Is being a witness, I am saying or doing exactly that Jesus would do or say if he were here. Therefore, I am a sample, a living martyr of him. When you're martyred, you're dead. This baptism will truly enable us to better serve him. But it is more than this. Through his power being imparted into our lives, we become a witness that can be seen as well as heard. When Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, Jesus' reply was, he who has seen me has seen the Father. John 14, verses 8 and 9. Jesus was saying, My life is a witness of the Father to the extent that if you have seen me, you have seen him. You shall receive power after. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a gift, but the power is only available to us after. We must pass through a time of testing in order to experience this power. And who are we to rely on? Certainly not on self. We're to rely on him. Often the Lord's people are led to make a consecration and then are left hanging there until the next evangelist comes along and leads them to make yet another consecration. This pattern is repeated again and again with nothing further being offered. Our conscience should be in the doorway that leads us into a new and further realm of spiritual life and experience. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Take another one. Let it go. So we ask the Lord to draw us. Then we consecrate our lives to run after him. But this is not the end. There is another step that we are to take. The king has brought me into his chamber. The word chamber in French is bedroom. Here, as I enter into his chamber, and as I experience the intimacy of his manifest presence, I will receive his enabling power. I will receive his enabling power to guide me in my involvement with Jesus in his end time purpose. As I ascend into the deeper realm of his chamber, I will enjoy increasing degrees of communion and fellowship with the Lord. Isaiah 40, verses 29 and through 31. He gives power to the faint. Hear me. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall be faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He gives power to the faint. When you think you've got nothing left, and you believe that you have nothing left, he's available as you wait for him. Herein is the secret. It is an assured fact that our strength will run out. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When we enter into his chamber and wait in his presence, the power of God flows into our being. It is extremely important that we spend time waiting in his presence to partake of his life. Only then will we have the strength to face the testings and problems of life. So the solution comes when you're focused on him and he takes you into his bedroom. Our heavenly bridegroom desires to bring us into his chambers to abide with him. Here, as his bride, we will experience joy unspeakable that is unknown to others. During these times of intimate communion, we are brought into a closer union with him. In the closeness of this communion, we will receive his life and strength and come into a greater understanding of spiritual principles and truths. Revelations 4:1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking to me, talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. Revelations 4:1. As we pray this short yet powerful prayer, draw me, we are opening the way that will lead us upward into inexhaustible chamber of heaven. Here, as the hunger within us finds its full satisfaction, all that we had longed for will be found in him. The King has brought me into his chamber. The King, the Lion King that you rode, is bringing us into his bedroom. I like the word bedroom because I know that that word chamber sometimes has a different connotation in the mind. So as I was pushing forward on this, and I went to Ezekiel. So I want you to come into Ezekiel 37 right now. You see, there's a lot more about what he has prepared in Ezekiel 37. But again, if you look at this on your own, you will research much more than what I've given you. But I want to start with verse 24. My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, the land where your fathers lived. They and their children's children will live there forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. 26. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their number, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. Being among them is within us. 27. My dwelling place will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know the Lord and make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them. You see, when I'm looking at this word, and I'm recognizing the huge amount of coordinates that are between Israel and between the US of A, you have an incredible reality of the major gift that President Trump, when he opened that door and moved the embassy to Jerusalem, that changed everything. You can see the darkness pushing Trump in the background, and you can see the darkness doing the same thing with Benjamin Netanyahu. But God actually put these together. If it wasn't for the United States, Israel would not be. Why? Because we have an important part to play. And it's not just through hearsay. It's what he has promised in his word. If you look up 37, if you look up 38, I mean, there's so much more. You have the dry bones going on. I mean, there's so much more available from these particular verses. And I could, like I said, take you there, but that's not my purpose. My purpose today is to show you the harmony of the two nations that God has put together. It is the Lord's doing that did this. I believe the pressure that has been happening in our country to try to put everything but the Lord first. It's visible in so many areas. And I have to be careful because if I listen to the news, I get upset. My emotions get involved. So I say be careful on that. But there was a prophetic word that was given by a young man this past week that I was really blessed with. His name is Russ Walden. I don't know if any of you heard it, but I'm just going to run it through a little bit so that you can see. I forgot which day it was, but the middle of the week, I think. And the word was this: the Father says, there is a gift within you that I am unwrapping. It has been hidden away until this hour and this season, so that no one will ever say it is man's doing. Nay, for it is my doing, and yet it has been there all along, hidden in plain sight. For my word does reveal that the same power, notice again, power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me and quickens and brings to life my mortal body. Wow. You see, it's been there all along. We've sang the song. It's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Romans 8, you know it. You can sing the song, but if you're not talking about the power to change within you, what are you doing? You're just singing a song. Watch the next level. So it is upon you, beloved, to believe and release my power into your life, your situation, and your mortal body, and put on immortality. I love that part. Put on my immortality. It is within you, beloved, to move by faith the very mountain obstructing your purpose by my divine power working within you. It is for you, beloved, to use that power and demonstrate my supernatural life-giving force that will cause the blind eyes to see, deaf ears to hear, and lame feet to run once again. Immersion of fire, keep your lanterns full and let your light shine. That's the heading for the next few words. For I shall send forth my fire upon the earth, and my fire shall ignite the new dunamis already on the inside of my people. My fire shall seek out and find my deposit of the eternal flame upon the earth, which is within you, and cause a massive combustion of spiritual force upon the earth that shall fill the earth with my glory. Which earth is he talking about? It starts with me. It starts with this body, and it will spread. So keep your lantern full, beloved. Keep the flame of your light ignited. Let your light shine and burn as you prepare yourself for the immersion of fire. My holy fire will bring a cleansing flame that will devour the darkness and burn away the wickedness in your midst, in your center. Amen? My fire and glory shall make way on earth for a purified and holy table set before you. Here you shall partake of the greater miracles and greater works which have been foretold of healing the sick, raising the dead, and emptying the hospitals, says the Lord of hosts. Are you ready?
Yes, Lord.
Thank you. I'm wondering if you guys are alive. This is the day. Know this, that it is not a time to strive, but it's a time to what? Rest. You see how the coordinates of the book and this word is mingled right together. It is exactly what Holy Spirit wants you and me to get a hold of. It's not by might. It's not by power that you're going to make it. It's by His Holy Spirit within us. Got it? I got to back it up now. Know this, that it is not a time to strive, but a time to rest, so that you can enter His chamber and trust in my all embracing purposes. It is a time to stay focused, not to let anything take your eyes off of the harvest. The sickle is now being thrust in, and the wheat is being separated from the chaff. The impotence of man is being made clear, and the moment of my glory is coming forth in the midst of darkness now. This is the day that I am your peace. And this is the day that I am your shelter. And you are going out of this furnace by my hand without even the smell or smoke on your garments. Russell Walden, Father's Heart Ministries, etc. You know, when I read this, my insides were jumping. Because again, this man of God is decreeing life and not conditions that man can coordinate to make it happen. So, will you put your right hand over your heart, please? Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I've heard a lot.
I've heard a lot.
I need to have it go inside.
I need to have it go inside.
It's got to be inside my heart.
It's got to be inside my heart.
That's where you are.
That's where you are.
And I know you're going to finish this work.
And I know you're going to finish this work.
When you draw me into your bedroom.
You draw me into your bedroom.
And make me one with you.
And make me one with you.
I am the bride.
I am the bride.
A corporate bride.
A corporate bride.
Ready to be.
Ready to be.
Imparting.
Imparting.
The power you poured into me.
The power you've put into me.
By being a witness.
By being a witness.
Not by tattling.
Not by tattling.
Not by giving out my great ideas.
Not by giving out my great ideas.
Because they will fail.
Because they will fail.
But as they watch me.
But as they watch me.
Be an ambassador of the Most High.
Be an ambassador of the Most High.
They'll be able to see.
They'll be able to see.
That it's Jesus in me.
That it's Jesus in me.
That's doing a work.
That's doing the work.
And as I go forward.
And as I go forward.
Many will be able to see.
Many will be able to see.
The Father doing His work in me.
The Father doing His work in me.
And through me.
And through me.
It will be.
It will be.
That I am a true witness.
That I am a true witness.
When I don't react like the world.
When I don't react like the world.
Because the prince of this world.
Because the prince of this world.
Has nothing left in me that I know of.
There's nothing left in me that I know of.
But if there is something.
But if there is something.
Burn it out.
Burn it out.
Burn it all out.
Burn it all out.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I know. did it at home.
Yep.
Well, the thing is that, you know, when we watch and see his ability versus ours, the limitations are intense. But the truth is that when he put us together and he's conforming us, he's squeezing us until we all get to be of one mind, that's what he wants. He wants people with one mind, one purpose. So I got my 4th of July socks on. And if you'll notice, my shirt has a message. All we like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah 53:6. But you know what he does with sheep, right? He puts them together. And the hound of heaven is Holy Ghost. And I don't know where we got. Oh, is this gorgeous? Hallelujah. Come on up, kids. Gather with a grateful heart. Come on, Sven.